You are listening to the BSI Business Growth Toolkit, a series from The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards, in collaboration with Innovate UK Business Growth.
Hello, my name is Matthew Childs, and this is the BSI Business Growth Toolkit, a series from The Standard Show, developed in collaboration with Innovate UK Business Growth. Innovate UK is the UK's innovation agency, and Innovate UK Business Growth is a key part of the agency's deep investment to help innovating businesses grow and scale, supporting them with advice on becoming investment ready, internationalizing, and managing how they innovate. In this series, we're looking at the relationship between standards and some key business issues, with particular relevance for SMEs. This episode is one of a number in the series looking at managing collaboration. And our guides this time are Nicola Bates from Aerospace Accelerated and Martin Orton from Pliable. Before we hear my conversation with Nicola and Martin, a reminder that you can rate, review and subscribe to The Standard Show wherever you get your podcasts. And you can get in touch and find and follow us on social media too. All the details are in the show notes. And the show notes are also where you can find a link to all of the episodes in the series. So, Nicola Bates is Head of Global Accelerators and Innovation Programs at Boeing, and also the Managing Partner at Aerospace Accelerated. Aerospace Accelerated is Boeing's Aerospace Accelerator program. Since 2019, it has provided investment, mentorship, and support for startups and SMEs, developing scalable and sustainable solutions for the aerospace industry and beyond. It has supported 40 companies in 14 countries worldwide. Collectively, these companies have raised £200 million in additional funding and created hundreds of highly skilled jobs. And Martin Orton is founder and chief executive at Pliable, the world's leading custom composite mold producer. Pliable was founded on the desire to shift engineering in high-performance areas such as passenger aircraft, submarines and Formula One cars, away from a very slow and analog reliance on traditional mold manufacturing. They achieved this by building an international network of high-caliber tooling manufacturers, accessible from pliable.com to deliver speed, precision and cost-effectiveness. And Pliable was one of the first companies to be selected for the Aerospace Accelerated program. I started by asking Martin about that relationship between Pliable and Aerospace Accelerated.
So Pliable was one of the founding members of the Aerospace Accelerated program. Back in the latter half of 2019, we applied. My background's not in aerospace. I used to design racing yachts. The technology's similar, but you know, if something breaks on a racing yacht, somebody gets wet. And so we were interested in whether our value proposition scaled to solve the demands and needs of global aerospace industry. Being a small company, it's very hard to find the point at which the penetration point for large organizations. And we were actually given the flyer to Aerospace Accelerated by our investors, Forward Partners. We applied and joined the 3-month program, and I was fully bought into this is how we test our value proposition. It was less than 10 days before the demo day. Yeah. Everyone went into lockdown, and Aerospace Accelerated kind of really stood up at that point and supported us through a really dangerous time. You know, nobody's flying, everyone's in panic mode, investors, tier ones, OEMs. We did a quarter where we forecast zero revenue. It wasn't zero in the end, but I think that process after the initial 3 months really showed to me the value of the group that had been created, what Nick had done. And since then, we've got contracts with global tier ones, with Boeing itself, and now aerospace is 90% of our revenue.
Wow, so a big change there. So Nick, obviously, Martin set you up nicely there. I mean, a lot of love in the room for you and Aerospace Accelerated. But how do you see it from your perspective? How would you describe the relationship?
Well, we're a proud investor in Pliable. You know, we see this as Martin, you know, rightly pointed out, we've got huge bottlenecks in the supply chain. And you know, these guys have proven to us that this is a really efficient way for us to get around some of those bottlenecks. So it was a bit of a no-brainer for us at the time. Obviously, you know, as Martin said, we've been through the worst of times together. And I think that really shows you, you know, from as an investor, that really shows you the founders that you can rely on. You know, I know that I can literally put Martin in front of anyone because we've literally been through the absolute worst. And you see how people perform in those worst case scenarios. For us, you know, obviously during the pandemic, it was the time whenever we absolutely had to stand up. You know, there was a lot of questions about, do we pause the program? Do we run another program? And that is one of the things, you know, and I do get asked a lot, like, why Boeing? You know, why are you still at Boeing? You know, I'm a startup person in one of the largest organizations in the world. So it's a fair question a lot of the time. But I think that there is an ethos at Boeing, which is Boeing never walks away from its commitments. And that really came to the fore during the pandemic, because we knew that that was the time when our founders and our startups needed us the most. And that's how they would judge us in the future, is how we performed and how we continued to support them through that. And that has, you know, for the whole portfolio, we've lost 2 companies out of 42 over the last 5 years, which from a, you know, startup failure perspective is, you know, eye-watering that they've been as successful as they have. And I think that's just testament to that ability to continue to stand alongside whenever things get really tough.
Well, you both set the scene nicely there. And Nick, you've talked there about sort of big and small. So I want to ask you about this, you know, from your perspective, what's the biggest challenge for a small organization collaborating with a much bigger one and vice versa?
Time. I think time is that, you know, we run at 2 totally different speeds. And I think that's where, you know, having that buffer, like a aerospace accelerated team in the middle to help kind of normalize that, you know, that speed in which each of the organizations move. And there's no doubt as well, the complexity in our organization, you know, how does a 1, 2, 3 man team begin to navigate a 160,000 person organization? So having a team like ours who sit on the inside, but as I tell my team every day, Boeing pays your paycheck, but you work for Martin. That's the bottom line with the team. So they very much are on the side of our startups, helping them navigate those internal, you know, structures, but also those internal politics. When is the right time to approach a team? When isn't? And really getting a good feel for that, or helping them understand when they've gotten a no. And perhaps at our side, they've been too polite to say no. And really helping them calibrate where is the best time, you know, best place to spend your time, because I think that is the most valuable resource for our startups.
So Martin, Nick's mentioned there about time. How about from your perspective, from Pliable's perspective, what's the biggest challenge for a small organization collaborating with a much bigger one?
So time is definitely a challenge. And when I think about time, it's about time to order commitment, time to revenue. Once you're over that though, we obviously need to deliver on the promise that has been made. It's about alignment of process. You know, if we're clear in the process that we're going to follow, then it's clear to all the different stakeholders in our customer organization, and we can deliver, we can record how we're tracking against that process, and there can be no surprises. That means that come the end of the project, we've delivered successfully, and we know we're in a good stand for the second, the third, the fourth, an ongoing relationship. You know, we put a lot of time into that first order, and if we don't deliver, then that time is just wasted. It's a one and done deal. We know that Pliable has a very we're not a subscription model, so we don't have recurring revenue, but it's a very sticky business model. Revenue is recurring by its nature, in that this problem doesn't go away. We need to be aligned in our process, and that's something that we're constantly learning, constantly evolving. You know, it really used to bug me in the early days, but now as my own business is scaling up, I can see how process is massively important, and we're putting those processes in place to make sure that they're aligned with the processes in our customers. And it's about expectation, about being clear in your communication. What are you going to deliver, when and how?
Now, you've mentioned there, both of you, some of the challenges, and you've kind of got on to my next question, really. I'm interested in your top tips for getting collaboration right from both sides. And also, if you're able, you know, to talk about how standards generally can help make that process easier. Maybe start with you again, Martin.
Yeah, so I'll just follow on from my previous point. Communication is the most important thing when collaborating. You have to be clear. So clarity of communication. Often that is not as easy as it sounds. We do that. So we've got ISO 9001 as our quality standard. That lays out everything right from quoting to delivery, the process that has to follow in the pliable organization to adhere to the ISO 9001 quality standard. That enables us to show to our customers, right, once you're at this stage, this is the process that will be followed. We'll be able to track and record against it. And that keeps everyone, not only in our organization, but in our customers' organization, aligned.
And how about from your side, Nick, you know, top tips for getting collaboration right and maybe, you know, how standards can help make that easier?
So I think that, you know, there's absolutely no question in our space, you know, we're heavily regulated. Standards are absolutely crucial. And for us, safety is the number one priority. And as you know, you heard from Martin earlier, he came in to this and into this program not having a huge aerospace background. So it's really important to us that we help our founders get up to speed on what are the standards, what is the expectation here, making sure that we are all on the same page. There is a level playing field. And then a big part of that as well comes, I think, you know, maybe it goes without saying, but is trust. Is, you know, making sure that we're entering this in a partnership approach rather than a very transactional approach. And I think whenever you have those standards that are set out, this isn't Boeing says, so therefore. But these are industry standards that everyone can look at. There's no secrets here. Everyone knows exactly what's expected. It's much, much easier then to have that partnership, because we all know what we're all trying to achieve, not just what we're trying to achieve individually. I think that is the real solid foundation to a real partnership. That then builds on, you know, Martin getting a closer relationship with our engineering side that really understand their problem sets. They can communicate those in a much more open fashion with him, and he understands the parameters that they have to work within in order to solve those problems. And as an innovator on the outside, let's be honest, he can just solve those problems much quicker than we can. And that's where we rely on our innovator community through Aerospace Accelerated to help us with those challenges and help us understand what we can and can't do and how we operate within that whole, you know, that whole structure that we have in order, you know, to keep our airplanes safe. You know, I think the range of things that we work across is so vast, you know, so whether it's from, you know, we've got technologies that are obviously, you know, going into aircraft right now today, but at Aerospace Accelerated, we're looking at the whole enterprise. So we're looking at things like human resources related technologies. We're looking at quality related technologies, you know, a lot of software related AI applications and so on. So the range of standards that we're looking at is vast for these companies, because obviously they all have their different relevant standards. I think what's important, however, is being able to reach back into that expert community at Boeing who live these standards day in, day out. They have done for many years. There's a huge amount of expertise built up there, and making sure that those innovators are connected with those right experts for that particular domain that they're in. Because obviously there's an international context to this as well. And making sure that those standards are relevant for the specific use case that we're talking about, and you're not getting caught up with something that just isn't relevant, because that can be a challenge as well. How do we navigate the standard and make sure that we're looking at the right thing and talking about the right thing? So I think that it's more about the process by which we understand who we need, who is the right expert, and what are the right standards, and making sure that we're all on the same page from that perspective.
Now, like most things in life, we only learn when things go wrong. So I'm interested in examples of where maybe collaboration has gone wrong. Maybe coming to you first, Martin. You know, what did you learn when things go wrong, and what would you have done differently?
Things still go wrong. So it's a constant It's a constant learning lesson. Every day is a school day. You know, Pliable, right from the early days, was trying to remove the opacity that comes with manufacturing, build a online digital thread that makes it as easy to order your aerospace tooling component as it is to, you know, buy a burger from Deliveroo and you can track it to your door for £5. Like, that is not the case when you're ordering a 10,000 pound mold traditionally. And so we created a software platform where we're connecting capacity and capability with demand. And what we learned was, as soon as people go outside of our software platform, the value gets lost, communication is unclear, and it quite quickly breaks down. People get lost in where information is stored, where it should be stored, who it should be copied to, what email thread. And so what we constantly try and do is ensure that our platform is robust, easy to use, and that all communication from first point of contact right through to a signed delivery note is kept within the Pliable software ecosystem. That goes back to communication, to clarity, to process. As soon as something breaks in that, then you're chasing your tail and you've got a problem to solve. Like I say, every day is still a school day, but that's what we're striving to do.
How about from your perspective, Nick, an example of where collaboration has gone wrong?
So I hope Martin doesn't mind me saying this, but we did have a challenge with Pliable where they weren't the tier one supplier to Boeing, but they were in the tier two scenario, and there was an issue. You know, there was a communication breakdown. And I got a call from the colleague at Boeing that said, I think we have a problem with Pliable. And I was like, Martin, what's the problem? And literally inside about 15 minutes, Martin was on the call with, you know, with a very senior executive at Boeing, and to be able to say, actually, here's the scenario. And the problem actually wasn't a Pliable problem, but it was very easy for that tier one supplier to point the finger and say the problem was at the Pliable level. We were able to resolve that literally within 15 minutes and two phone calls. So again, that trust, that ability to lift the phone and just have a conversation and unravel something that genuinely Martin may never have heard about otherwise, but may not have got a follow-on contract as a result, or it may have, you know, harmed a reputation somewhere else. So being able to, you know, identify those problems really quickly and actually just get on it and get it dealt with one way or the other. Equally, had it have been an actual Pliable problem, it would have been solved. You know, they would have shown how they stepped up in that scenario. So I think it's that piece about, you know, having that partnership rather than, as I said earlier, rather than transactional, I think is really crucial.
You both mentioned time, communication, trust, you know, really, really important issues for you both here in establishing good collaboration. Now, BSI and ISO have developed standards for managing collaboration. We have the ISO 44000 series, for example, and 44001 in particular, about collaborative business relationships. I just, from both your perspectives, really, maybe starting with you, Nick, you know, does a standard like that sound like a good thing in establishing best practice for collaboration?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that it's always a good thing in terms of establishing a baseline. I think how that standard is implemented, however, is the crucial piece. Because I think that, you know, we can all sit down and say, here's what's reasonable, here's what's expected, here's how we expect. But a lot of collaboration comes down to behavior. And I think that is the hardest piece to get right. I think the standard, what that sets out is what we should expect of each other, how we should expect each other to behave, the reality of that behavior, you know, and I suppose that's, you know, arguably that's the situation with any standard, how it's implemented is the crucial piece. But I think that, you know, and again, maybe easy for me to say in my seat, but I think that, you know, as a small company, being very careful and very mindful of the culture of the organization that you're working with is really important here. Because, you know, if we take that example that I just mentioned of a challenge that we faced, had I have got that message and done nothing, or had I have got that message and went, oh, well, sure, you know, yeah, probably is a Pliable problem, so be it, let's get a new supplier. There's an SME who is suffering because of, not because of something I've done, because of a lack of action. And I think that that is something, you know, that's more baked in terms of ethics, of alignment around, you know, what we actually want to achieve, you know, what our ethos around all of this is, which is very hard to codify in a, you know, in a set of standards. So I think that, you know, almost the not meeting the standard or not applying a standard at all is the immediate red flag. And, you know, if you're an SME dealing with a large organization that doesn't have any of those standards in place, just run because, you know, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Because there are plenty of us out there that really do hold those standards, you know, very preciously. And I would be looking at, as well, at the behaviors as well. You know, what is coming with that standard.
How about from your perspective, Martin? You know, we've developed standards for this area in terms of collaboration, but how do you see it?
We've done a lot of, I mean, daily we collaborate, but I think more specifically, we are in occasionally collaborative funded R&D projects. So recently we were, it was a DIU funded project with NASA, another aerospace accelerated cohort member, and multiple other stakeholders, including US government, DOD. Culturally, we were all very well aligned. Behaviorally, we were all very well aligned, but it's really difficult without a framework to move these projects forward.
It's also scale. On Martin's side, you know, it's fine whenever it's a very small organization, but as Pliable has begun to scale, I think that's what Martin's realizing, that you know, him holding a standard is one thing, but how do you then disseminate that across a large team, a large dispersed team at that? That's where the standards, I think, become much easier. And especially as, you know, as our startups are growing, a lot of them are bringing in very early careers talent. So how do you start out for someone who's not worked in this environment before? Where do you begin? And I think that standards, that's where it can be really helpful to, you know, and especially these companies are, you know, are new. They're building all of their processes. They're building all of this stuff. That's where standards can become hugely beneficial to them to shortcut some of this work. Because if you were to sit down and go, okay, Martin, how are you going to build an onboarding process for a new hire and tell them how we communicate or how we collaborate with a large organization? It would take you forever. But when you've got a standard to start with, then it's a really great foundation to build your, you know, your company structure and processes from that.
My thanks then to Nicola Bates and Martin Orton for sharing their insights and experiences on managing collaboration. For more information about the issues raised in this episode, details of other episodes in the series, and information on how to get involved in standards, then check out the links in the show notes.
You have been listening to the BSI Business Growth Toolkit, a series from The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.